Oh, really? Could you borrow it, brother? Yeah, they need it. Thank you so much. They got one back there and it won't play. It's awful quiet in here with about 40 of them out of here, isn't it? You know, somebody cough real loud or okay. All right. Now, I said what we was going to do is since everybody's praying and fasting, and we definitely have some people praying and fasting. I want to be praying for Brother Derek, his revival. He's preaching revival this week. I'm not sure it started tonight. Does anybody know that? But through all the way through the weekend. So remember him in prayer this evening. And since people are praying and fasting, we have some people on some extended fast. And God is working and will work in their life. And sometimes when you're fasting, I want to just say maybe help you. You feel very, very, very not spiritual. And don't let that be a hindrance to you or a gauge by which you go by. It's just like when you're lifting weights and you're training, you don't really feel like a champion. But when it shows up is when you're out there on the field in a football game. And that's the way fasting is. You might think, oh, this ain't doing no good. I'm backslid. I'm so aggravated. But the Lord's looking down, and the results come on in the church service. And my goal is, and my desire is that we'll see the results come in. We had these posters we took out this weekend, and them things wasn't up half night until I started getting phone calls. This one here about y'all got them in the schools now. These are in the public schools. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And because it don't say really it's church. And we've been getting some response from these things. And we've got a few more here. If you know somewhere we put them, like at a recreation center, a skating ring, anywhere where people might see them, a restaurant, something like that, get these tonight and take them out. All right, let's turn the Bible to Proverbs chapter 28 tonight. And I told you I was going to take this Wednesday night. We'll talk about our praying. And then next Wednesday evening, we'll be at the fairground. So everybody plan on coming to the fairground for Wednesday night service next week. And then we're going to do the service that night on how to deal with somebody at the altar. Let's say somebody gets up and they come to the altar. Could you take your Bible and deal with them? That's what we're going to talk about next Wednesday night. The first thing you do when you talk to somebody at the altar is you ask them a question. Are you a Christian? Have you been saved? It's better to say, have you been saved, rather than are you a Christian? Because people have all kinds of definitions of what's a Christian. Best thing to do is, have you been saved? And then go from there. If they say yes, you'll know where to turn in your Bible. If they say no, you'll know where to turn in your Bible. But you gotta know. I go to a lot of places and preach, and somebody comes to the altar, and there's a gang of people just gather around them and just put their hand on them. Oh, God, hit them in the head and kick them and everything else. And that poor person don't even know what's going on. You got one over here saying, hang on, hang on. Somebody over here saying, let go. And it's confusing. So sometimes people need a little guidance and at the altar, especially the day we're living in. Years ago, man went down the altar, he repented and knowed what he's there for. Nowadays, they don't even understand how to do it or what to do. So don't forget that now. That'll be next Wednesday night. Okay? Tonight, I'm going to talk about prayers that don't get answered. Prayers that do not get answered. There's a reason for it. When our prayers don't get answered, there's a reason for it. Proverbs 28. Somebody asked me, they said, Brother Danny, does all your prayers get answered? And I said, no, not yet. I'm still expecting a lot of them. All of my prayers have not been answered. I prayed for a lot of things that did not happen. But that's not, the reason that's not discouraging is because it's like you're praying for somebody. And you say, Lord, do something. And the Lord's not going to go over a person's free will. A person has a free will. You can't just pick somebody out and say, now Lord, save that person. And you have to say, he'll deal with them and convict them. So sometimes our prayers don't get answered for obvious reasons. But I've had enough of my prayers get answered that I don't believe in I'm keeping on praying. I don't know about you. All right, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. It said, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now that's obviously saying that there's some prayers that God will not answer and pays no attention to. There's some prayers that the Lord ignores. There are some prayers that God just says, I ain't listening to that, you're wasting your time. People say, well, I thought if we prayed, the Lord would answer. He will, but you got to pray right. Praying wrong is a waste of time. Look at all the Muslims and all over the world that, you know, they do that, you know, that's how they bow down. And over there at that Wailing Wall in Jerusalem where they do this, you know, and all that. That's a waste of time. And I don't mean that as an anti-Semitic statement. I'm not against Jews. I'm all for them. But any prayer that's not prayed right and in Jesus' name, don't go no work past the ceiling. It don't matter if you're a Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, American, South American, wherever you're from in the world, what religion you are, you can waste your time praying. All right, the first thing I want to say is, the first prayer that God don't answer is a prayer of doubt. We doubt, and I am guilty of this, and you are too. Turn your Bible to James chapter 1, and let's look at this just a second. And look at this. It's very, very, very good for you. Very good for you. James chapter number 1. And look what the Bible said in verses 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It's good for you to flip them Bible pages back and forth there and get familiar with it. James 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now that verse, those verses simply say, I'm not supposed to pray, oh God, would you do this? Lord, bless the youth rally. And then get up and say, he probably ain't going. He ain't listening to me. That's a prayer of doubt. That's a prayer of doubt. That's the kind God don't answer. We don't listen. If we don't even believe He's going to do it, then what are we praying for anyway? When I pray, I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting Him. Now He may not, and I may be weak in my faith. But when we come up here and pray Friday night at our all night prayer meeting, I'm not coming up here just as a ritual. Lord have mercy, we got better things to do. You can stay home, eat ice cream, watch a ball game, and get a good night's sleep. If that's all you're doing, probably just as well off. We are not coming as a ritual. We're not coming saying, oh God, oh God, we pray. That's what they do. That's what they do in a lot of those. And they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's what the Bible said. And then the Bible talks about vain repetition. In the Catholic Church, they'll say so many Hail Marys and twiddle beads and say, Hail Mary, full of grace, remember us now at the hour of our death, or something like that, over and over and over and over. And when we come up here to pray, I am going to expect God to hear my prayer. Amen? I may not have a lot of faith, but I got a little bit, and all it takes is a grain of mustard seed. So, when we pray, we pray in faith. Prayer and doubt are opposites. They said one time years ago, it hadn't rained in this town, and it hadn't rained like for weeks and months. And so the mayor and everybody said, we're going to meet Saturday morning in the courthouse square and pray for rain. And everybody in the little town came out, and one little boy brought his umbrella. And everybody said, well, why'd you bring that for? He said, we're praying for rain, ain't we? He was the only one that really believed the Lord was going to do it. So let's pray. When we pray, let's pray in faith, believing. All right, take your Bible there in James, same book, and flip over to chapter 4, and I'll show you another prayer God don't answer. Another prayer God don't answer is a prayer of selfish desire. Selfish desire. In other words, when you have the wrong motive and something selfish in mind, when you're really not, your motive isn't right, this is a prayer that God does not answer. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Look here what it says. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Well, you say, I ask. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So prayers that are selfish desires are prayers God don't answer. Your motive. Now, man comes in here and two men get down right here. They're both praying for $100, let's say. One of them praying for $100. He says, oh God, you know I need my bills paid, and God, I can't afford to pay my light bill. God, please give me $100. Another man's over here. He's praying for $100. He's saying, Lord, I love that shotgun I seen over there at the flea market for sale. And I want it. I can make money off that. Would you give me $100? You can immediately see they're both praying for the same thing, but one of them's motive is selfish. Now, I do not believe, let me clarify this, because some people have asked me about this. I don't believe it's always selfish to ask for something that you want. Not always. Not always. I think if you need a car, ask the Lord for a car. I don't think that's being selfish. If you need a house, ask the Lord for a house. Be specific. Say, Lord, I need a house. I'd like to have one with 3 bedrooms. And if it could be your will, that's not sinful. But now, when you say, like, I want this and gimme, 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 and it's all you care about is your own selfish desire, then you're off track. And God is not obligated to answer a prayer of a person who has selfish motives behind their praying. So, said this man, little boy was staying with these people. He'd come from a Christian home, and they said he was sitting there, and they just started eating. He said, don't y'all ask the blessing before you eat? And they looked at him and said, no. Just can't be. He said, oh, you're like my dog. You just start right in. And that's truth. That's truth. You know how dog don't even look up to see where it comes from. They just start eating. And I don't want to be like that. I heard another one. This ain't got nothing to do with my lesson tonight, but I heard another good one the other day. This little boy was saying, he come home, and this is for all you parents, since kids ain't in here. This little boy come home, and he said, Mom, she said, well, don't you like the preacher at church, honey? He said, yeah, but in the Sunday school, he prayed that I'd be in a good Christian home, and heck, I want to stay with you guys. That's pretty good, ain't it? Preacher prayed he'd be in a good Christian home. Anyway, we don't get anywhere when we pray with selfish motives. Selfish motives. Beware. See, God don't only listen to your words. He sees the condition of your heart when you pray. And that, matter of fact, the condition of your heart is way more important than the words that come out of your mouth. The night I got saved, most of y'all know this is my spiritual birthday, so I've been enjoying that all day long. The night I got saved, I don't remember saying but 2 words, oh God, that's all I remember saying. And I'm telling you, it was down here. It was what was in my heart. That's what was getting up past the clouds. So your motive must be right. When we pray for the youth rally, we say, Lord, would you please bless the youth rally? Please. We're not praying just so we can have fun and shout. I mean, it would be fun to have a great revival, but that's not why we pray, Lord, bless the youth rally. We're not praying, Lord, bless the youth rally, just to show some other church that God's blessing us enough. That's ridiculous. That Lord's not interested in that kind of junk. That's a waste of time. We're not praying, Lord, bless the youth rally, just so he'll show the devil. We don't care what the devil thinks. We shouldn't say, Lord, show that old devil, give us a great revival. No. We don't even supposed to consider what the devil thinks or what he wants or don't want. Don't matter what the devil does or don't do. We're supposed to say, Lord, would you send that great youth rally, number one, for your honor and glory, that people would honor you. Number two, to keep people out of hell and keep them from burning in hell. Number three, so that Christians will be helped and families will be strengthened and young people will be off drugs and alcohol and things like that. I've talked to my cousin in West Virginia. West Virginia and Kentucky is now ground zero of the pill epidemic. It really is. It's sad. And it's always been like that. And it is now. You can look it up on the internet. It's sad. It's so sad. And she said everybody, there's whole communities up there where everybody is people getting shot. People get, old folks are getting broke in and kids stealing their pills and taking them from them. And just, it's just a sad, listen, wouldn't you like to see God get in there and do something about some of that stuff? Wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, somebody was telling me today about, I hadn't seen the news or nothing, but was there a nurse down here somewhere shot a woman? Y'all know about that? Yeah, took the baby, stole the baby. Stole somebody's newborn baby and shot her? Where was that at?
I want to say down around the shop, outside shop.
Yeah, I just heard about that today. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God would come down in that service and change some people's life like that and maybe a little child grow up in a happy home? That's what we're praying for. That's what we're praying for. Oh, Lord. Well, there's a spirit. I think there's a demonic spirit is in that stuff. And this is what they don't realize. The medical profession probably don't realize. There, as some of them, there's a spirit. When a person is on drugs, your brain, it's like putting your car in neutral. It can roll. It can and you open yourself up to spirits. Go ahead. Is that right? Amen. Y'all know Rocky? I'd kill you over $2,500. I'm just kidding. I just beat you up. Amen. What was it? Like a bar or something? I bet there's some beauties in there, boy. All right. Let's talk about another prayer that God will not answer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. All right, Matthew chapter 5. And I'll show you another prayer way that not to get your prayers answered. You might see something in here tonight and find out why your prayers ain't getting answered. Matthew 5. And in Matthew 5, you want to look at 23. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, this is still Old Testament doctrine now, but it's got a New Testament truth here illustrated. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift. All right? Basically, what that's teaching is the old thing of if me and Bo here are, if we just had it out in church and blessed each other out, there's hard feelings, and I start getting ready to pray, then I ain't going to get nowhere till I go apologize to him and make things right. Holding grudges against people. Now, I don't think the devil, I mean, I don't think the Lord wants you to have to just go straighten out every little, I know some people that are too sensitive about stuff like that. And they think, oh my goodness, I might offend. I've had people call me and say, I'm so sorry for what I done. And I said, what'd you do? And they'll say, well, I thought I didn't. I said, yeah, I didn't even know it. So sometimes the devil can make you think you're guilty of stuff that you ain't even guilty of. But if you know it for a fact, if I've got mad at Brother Ray over here and I've said, Ray, I I'm gonna kill you. I hope you drop dead. Da 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 da. And I come in here and say, "Oh Lord, bless you." What that's saying is, I ought to go back to Him and make things right before I come in here acting all spiritual. And you need to do that. Some you might have to go apologize. And this flesh don't like to do that. Man, this flesh don't like to go humble ourselves and tell somebody we're sorry. And I'll tell you something. You know what God wants you to do sometime? Even though the other person might be more in the wrong, you might have to be the one to go say, "I'm sorry." Be the bigger person like Jesus did to us. No, what you mean is, can you be mean to sinners?
Yeah.
No. One at a time, please. Do what now? Yeah.
I find it very difficult to be nice to that person because, I mean, they're talking about my God. I feel yeah. like wringing their neck and being like, "This is crazy."
Well, you should feel like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You should feel that way.
But I have to be careful
because yeah, you don't want to be a smart aleck and you don't want to be hateful.
That's how a Christian acts, and I don't want to be like that.
Yeah. You can, I don't. You, so there's people on your nose book that don't believe in.
No, it's not my Facebook. It was a comment that somebody had made to a friend of mine
oh, yeah.
that was talking about.
Oh, okay. I've heard of about five messes that got started on that stuff. Does anybody ever know any good thing that's come out of nose book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not. If I want to have one, I'd have one. I'm not saying you're wrong. Just wondering. I hear so much bad stuff.
Brother Dean, one of our young ladies from the church, not here tonight, actually got to talking to me on Facebook and asked if she specifically could talk to Damien and was led to the Lord through Damien from Facebook.
Well, that's wonderful. Amen. You can find a diamond in a garbage can. I'm just kidding. I really am just kidding. The reason I don't do it is I just can't stand to sit in front of some little old something like that. I can't stand it. I cannot stand to sit in front of a computer or something like that. Or anything else? Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. Y'all enjoy it. Witness all you can. That's good. I just joke about it. Carrie got sorry. She said, "Daddy, I'm addicted." She said, "I'm addicted to it." I said, "Well, you need to get." Corey said she had a food addiction. Yeah, we all got that, ain't we? But anyway, let's look at another prayer that won't get answered. We're gonna have to get the kids in here in just a minute. So let's finish it up right quick. Psalm 66. Let me show you this one. Psalm 66. Back to what y'all was talking about. Yes, you are supposed to be nice to people that are not Christians. Now, I know. Remember, I told you about one here the other night where I got aggravated. But if you think you sin and cross the line, you should apologize. But, like for the person on there that you're talking about, saying there ain't no God or whatever, I just say, I know there's a God because I know what He's done for me. Jesus lives in my heart. Just say something positive like that. Yeah, like a good witness, not like you stupid atheist.
Well, I didn't even say anything to that because I could feel myself riling
up.
I could feel myself. I thought if I say something, then it's not going to be nice. So I actually went to bed. Don't know who the girl was, but I actually went to bed to pray for her. Because, I mean, the comment was, "This loving God that you say took my husband with cancer 37 years."
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? It's crazy how people's minds get so mixed up.
Yeah.
The loving God that let her husband die with cancer let His son be beat to death to keep that man from hell, and took care of him and gave him. And we sinned against that God. Her husband sinned against that God. And she did too, and I did too. That's what people are like, oh, if God's so good, why did He let this happen? If God wasn't as good as He is, He'd slap every one of us off in hell. If there's anything that gets me aggravated, it's people starting to blame all the trouble in the world on God. And like it's His fault. It's sin. Sin.
I can feel myself very angry. Yeah. I could say a lot of stuff, but I just didn't make a comment.
Why don't you blame it on where it really come from? The devil. That's where sin and sickness and everything started from originally. The devil.
You know, my thought was, you know, she had a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. So, you know,
yeah.
We would even go knock on her door and try to invite those kids to church. I mean, those kids probably don't even have a chance because the mom's probably so angry that she wouldn't even have the kids.
No doubt. All right, let's look at this right quick. Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. Everybody looking at it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart. Now, what does that mean? That we all got, we're none of us perfect. We all got some kind of unbelief or doubt or jealousy or pride or something in our, I mean, we're full of it, buddy. But we cannot regard iniquity in our heart. That means keeping on purpose a pet sin. On purpose. Now, Lord knows my heart tonight. God knows my heart. I can get down on this altar tonight and I can say, Lord, I don't want to do nothing that's wrong. And I really don't. I mean that with all my heart. I say, Lord, forgive me for that. I don't have anything in my mind planned that I'm going to do wrong Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go get drunk Friday night. I'm not going to go. When you deliberately plan on sinning and keeping a pet sin in your life, then it blocks your prayers off. You ain't getting nowhere. Now, if you fall and you stumble and you fall into sin, the devil tempts you and you fall, and you get up and say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, then okay, you're fine. But when you just say, I know this is wrong, and I'm going to do it anyway, and I don't care what nobody thinks, you're just like putting a lid on your prayers. Until you got to deal with that thing. It's just like your kids. If your kids just broke a window out of your front living room window, and you come home and you see the window broke out, and then they come in and say, Daddy, can we go get an ice cream? You don't hear that prayer. Do you? You say, we're going to deal with this broke window first. Let's deal with this first. Then, if we get all this worked out, we might go get an ice cream. Does that make sense? See, if we are deliberately sinning against God, you say, well, Brother Danny, I'm just so wicked. I know, Lord, He'll never hear me. No, I'm not talking about that. In your heart's desire, you want to be right, and you pray all the time, and you keep asking forgiveness, then you're fine. But if you deliberately are living wrong, deliberately on purpose, your prayers ain't gonna get nowhere till you deal with that whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. You can't judge somebody's heart. You know, who knows? Well, but you cannot deliberately live in sin and expect the Lord to answer your prayers. That's what I'm saying. Not deliberately. You say, well, Brother Danny, I fail every day. I do too. You say, well, no matter how hard I try, I still. I do too. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we just say, I don't care what God said. I'm going to do it, and I know it's wrong, and that's all there is to it. You're cutting your prayers off if you get that attitude. Okay? If I regard iniquity in my heart, on purpose. Anybody else got a question? We're going to have the kids in. Tell them, step back there, somebody. Tell them to come on. There. Are you ready? All right. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank You so much for all You've done for us. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, we do pray now that You'd give us a tremendous youth rally. Lord, that You could get glory and honor and praise. Souls would be saved. Lives would be touched and challenged and changed for the glory of God. Dear God, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Bless now as we prepare. Lord, I pray that You bless all the people's transportation, those that are traveling long distance. Lord, those that need rooms and places to stay, I pray the Holy Ghost come. Touch us, God. Have mercy on us, we ask. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before they come in, I have a young preacher and a driver. He's in a wheelchair, and he has a driver who drives him who needs a place to stay. That Friday and Saturday night, it needs to be a place with a walk where they can take a wheelchair in and out. If somebody, motel is almost $70 a night, and he don't have a lot of money there, but they need a place to stay Friday night and Saturday night. If someone would be willing to let them stay at your home, he's a real good boy, preaches all the time.